Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven, the voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies, great bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes, who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, O Lord, you keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for the battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them, to the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as dust borne on the wind. I poured them out like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me head of the nations. People I did not know are subject to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. Foreigners cringe before me. They lose all heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Saviour. He is the God who avenges me and who subdues nations underneath me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men, you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever.
Well, let's keep that open and pray as we come to think about it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your astounding word. Father, we ask that as we read it, you would fill us with the joy that we see in David. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know how powerful God is? Does it even feel to you like God is actually powerful? On the days when the family don't want to speak to each other, or worse, on the days when they do want to speak to each other, but the words they want to say are really horrible. At the times when sickness seems so oppressive, on the days when sin seems so overwhelming, on the Sundays when you come to church and it just feels cold, both with the temperature but also sometimes with the people. Do you feel like God is powerful, or is that just words? Well, at the end of this sermon, I'm going to show you the power of God. First, though, I want to show you a picture. I want to show you this picture of a fortress. Not quite that one. There we go. Now, if you wanted a picture of a powerful refuge, a safe place to flee to that was really powerful, it would be hard to go past this place, Marenga Fort in India. It sits 125 metres above the city below it. Its walls are massive, and, I mean, just look at the thing. Can you imagine arriving as a soldier with a sword in one hand and a spear in the other, and your general says, "Right, boys, attack." You're thinking, he's a crazy man. Or picture it from the opposite side. Imagine if you lived in the city down below and a foreign army's approaching. Do you panic? No. You just walk up the hill and you go inside the fortress. Inside its walls, there isn't a single enemy that can hurt you. Marenga Fort is a powerful refuge. Do you know that God is a powerful refuge just like that? Psalm 18 was written by King David. Like we heard last week, King David is the Lord's anointed one, anointed to be king. And we're told in the heading, if you have a look at the heading just before verse 1, which is, and these headings in the Psalms are actually part of the Bible, it says there, this psalm was written on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. David faced enemies inside Israel and outside Israel. He lived in caves. He slept out in the open. He's separated from his wife and from his best friend. He's been hunted, falsely accused, betrayed. And now God has powerfully rescued him from all his enemies. Every single one. No one is left standing. And so David picks up his pen and he composes a song about his powerful God. Seven times he fires off images of God as the powerful refuge. Have a look at verse 2. The Lord is my rock. He means a rocky mountain that you'd build a fortress on top of. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. This is a powerful God. And so we understand just how powerful. David's going to fill it out for us. He's going to tell us what God's done, why God's done it, and how God's done it. First, he tells us what God's done. He tells us that God has powerfully saved him from death. David didn't actually die, But the enemies were so powerful, the danger was so overwhelming, that death was a constant, imminent possibility. Have a look at verse 4. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. What do you do in that situation? Well, what do you do if you live in the city and the foreign army comes marching over the hill? You run up to the refuge, up to the fortress. That's what David does. He cries out to his God, his rock, his fortress. In verse 6, he says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help." And look at God's response. "From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it." This is terrifyingly powerful. God's risen up in defense of David, his anointed one. You can almost picture him rising up out of his throne, summoning the very elements of the planets as his weapons, overturning the natural order of things to bring his great strength to bear against David's enemies. Look at verse 13, the way God comes out fighting, scattering David's enemies. Verse 13, "The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies, great bolts of lightning, and routed them." The enemies seemed powerful. They were certainly stronger than David. He was weak and overwhelmed. And yet, charging in on David's side comes the God who shoots the lightning bolts. He saves the anointed one. Have a look at verse 16. "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support." Can you feel the power? On a dark and stormy night, a United States aircraft carrier detected a signal up ahead, and they realized that they were on a collision course. The radio operator sent the message, "Unidentified vessel, collision possible, adjust your course 2 degrees to the north." The message came back over the radio, "No, you adjust your course 2 degrees to the north." The radio operator tried again, "Unidentified vessel, collision imminent, adjust your course 2 degrees to the north." The voice came back over the radio, "No, you adjust your course 2 degrees to the north." Well, the captain of the ship grabbed the microphone and he called down, he yelled down, he said, "I am the captain of a United States aircraft carrier. You will adjust your course 2 degrees to the north." And the voice came back over the radio, "I'm the lighthouse keeper. It's your choice." The captain felt so powerful, but his power was nothing compared to the land that he was about to plow into. The enemies of David seemed so powerful. David was overwhelmed to the point of death. But when God roused himself, summoned his weapons, overturned nature to come to David's defense, the enemies were nothing. The powerful God saved David, the anointed one, from death. And yet even that pales into comparison when you see another anointed one who cried out to God for help. Remember, the Greek word for anointed one is Christ. And do you remember the words of Jesus, the Christ, just before he took his last breath on the cross? "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He took refuge in God. And having said that, he breathed his last. The cords of death entangled him, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed him, and yet in his temple God heard Christ's voice. Jesus' cry came before him into his ears. On the third day, the earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. God sent his angel, who appeared like a lightning bolt, to roll back the stone of the tomb. God rescued Christ out of death, out of the hands of all his enemies. The world's leaders had confronted Christ in the day of his disaster, but the Lord was his support. The power of God to protect and saved his Christ is beyond enormous. God truly is a powerful refuge. We'll come back to David. Having told us what God did in powerfully saving him from death, now David tells us why God saved him so powerfully. And the reason is because David is righteous. Because he's kept the ways of the Lord, because David is blameless. Have a look at verse 20. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. Now, this doesn't mean David never sinned. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we're going to look at a psalm that was written by David after an outrageous sin. And yet, in spite of that, the Old Testament keeps affirming that for the most part, David's heart was turned towards God. Just think of the way David treated King Saul. Saul hunted him from one end of the country to the other. But David refused to kill Saul because God had anointed Saul as king. And David refused to go against God. In fact, there's a time where David and a mate of his had snuck into King Saul's camp, and everyone's asleep. They weren't very good at keeping guard. Everyone's asleep, and Saul's asleep there, and his spear is sitting in the ground right next to his head. And David's mate says, "This is it. This is the time. Let me grab the spear, and I'll thrust it through Saul. All your problems will be over." But this is what David says. He says, "Do not destroy him, for who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" And David said, "As the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, or his day will come, or he will go down into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should put out my hand against the Lord's anointed." David has a choice. Kill his enemy Saul and make an enemy of God, or leave Saul alone, trusting that God will powerfully save him from his enemy. And that's what David does. He's blameless. How much more blameless is Jesus? God commanded Jesus to go to the cross. And Jesus could have said no. Do you remember what he told his guards when they came to arrest him? He said, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he'll at once put at my disposal 12 legions of angels?" If Jesus wanted to, he could have got out of there in a flash. He would have been safe. But he loved God too much. He knew that God was his powerful refuge, so powerful that he could even go into death and God would rescue him. And so even though the priests had Jesus killed for blasphemy, God said no. He's blameless. And he overturned the decision of the priests, bringing Jesus back to life. God powerfully saved Jesus because Jesus truly is blameless. Well, after David's explained what God's done and why he's done it, finally tells us how God's done it. How did God powerfully save him from all his enemies? And he did it by filling David himself with power, by making him strong for the day of battle, by putting iron in his bones and wings on his feet. In verse 33, David says, "He, God, makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for war, and my arms can bend a bow of bronze." Or down in verse 37, he says, "I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You, God, armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet." Now, it wasn't just David's enemies in Israel who were conquered. David says that God actually made him the head of nations. Just like we read in Psalm 2 last week, no one in the world could stand up against David. His enemies had fled into their strongholds, but their refuge isn't strong like David's refuge is strong. Verse 45, they all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. God filled David with so that all his enemies could be defeated. God put Saul to death in a battle on Mount Gilboa. David never lifted a hand against him. But for the rest, God worked through David to defeat his enemies, to conquer nations, to rule the kingdoms of the world. Well, I hope by now you've picked up that from the New Testament perspective, this psalm is not actually about you. Janice sent me this meme during the week. "You're so vain, you probably think this psalm is about you." That's from a song, by the way, but if you don't get that, that's because you're not old. See, all the old people are nodding their head and saying, "Yeah, we get that, that's totally cool." It's trying to be cool because it's in a meme, but you'll see in the bottom corner it's got the word liturgy, liturgy memes. As soon as you put liturgy in front of meme, it's not cool anymore, just so you know. Anyway, this psalm is not about you. You are not God's anointed king. It's about Christ, the anointed one. Remember, this is telling us how God powerfully delivered the anointed one from all his enemies. He filled the anointed one with power. So what do you think the psalm is about Jesus doing? Is it about his future judgment, when he'll smash the pride of nations and call people to account and cast the wicked into hell? It kind of sounds like that, doesn't it? "I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet." Is this about Christ's future judgment of the world? Well, there's an element of that. But I think there is something else going on here as well. Because when God the Father rescued Jesus from the bonds of death, when he breathed life back into his decaying corpse, when he filled his bones with power and glory and made him king of the world, what do you see Jesus doing? What does he do to his enemies? Saves them. He destroys their strongholds of sin and hatred towards God. He leads them out of their crumpled fortresses into his joyful, wonderful kingdom. He conquers their fears and doubts. God armed Jesus Christ with strength for battle. He made his adversaries bow at his feet, as verse 39 says, not in pain and sadness, but in joy and wonder at the mercy of God. And we've seen that all through Acts as we've gone through it this year. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people who'd called for Jesus' blood suddenly saved, forgiven, brought into Christ's kingdom. Saul, the murderer of Christ's followers, Jesus attacked his fortress of pride and arrogance, blinded him, knocked him to the ground, and saved him. The Philippian jailer, the Ethiopian eunuch, a crippled beggar, a Roman governor, religious Pharisees, and pagan foreigners. Wherever Jesus sent his messengers, the number of enemies decreased. They were conquered by his mercy. And he's still doing that today. It hasn't stopped. I heard this week about a Taliban woman, and she was training to potentially be a suicide bomber. She was training, in fact, in the same camp that had trained the guys that blew themselves up in the London Underground. She heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, of how he forgives and saves his enemies, and she went up to the preacher and she said, "This message is the only hope for my country." The next day, a Taliban warrior went to hear the same man speak, and at the end of the sermon, he threw his arms around him and said, "Listening to your message is like watching flowers bloom in a barren field." Jesus is changing hearts. But it isn't just happening in foreign countries. I said at the start that I would show you the power of God. So everyone look to your left. Everyone look to your right. Every single Christian who you see in this room is an example of the power of God through Jesus Christ. God raised Jesus to life and sent him out to smash his enemies out of their strongholds of sin and death and destruction. And that is what he has done. By forgiving us, by changing our hearts to want to follow him, by putting our old self to death and raising us to new life in Jesus Christ. Those you see around you are tangible evidence of the power of God through Jesus. This is how God is removing Christ's enemies, by saving them and making us Christ's people. In the psalm, what does David want to do once he's conquered his enemies, conquered the nations? He wants to tell them about his God. Proclaim the power of the Lord. Announce to the world how God has powerfully saved his anointed. Have a look with me at verse 49. "Therefore I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever." David wants the world to know that God is his powerful refuge. He'll praise God among the nations for delivering him from his enemies. And friends, that is the same as what Jesus wants. It's what Jesus wants here in our church. He wants us to praise his Father for delivering him from his enemies. Praise his Father for sending the Christ with power to have mercy on the nations. Praise him for conquering us with his love through Jesus. When you look around at this church, how do you see us? As a social club? As a kind of place that you have to attend out of some painful duty? How do you see us? Well, Jesus sees us as tangible evidence of the power of God. God has removed Christ's enemies by turning them into friends. And so Jesus wants us to praise God. Praise him with one single united voice. Praise him for his mercy. Praise him with the joy that befits those of us who have been conquered by God through the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to do that right now. We're going to sing.